David Nunn.
I remember on 9/11, I was at the YMCA, and the first reports were that some pilot, wayward pilot, had driven a private plane into the World Trade Center. And we later discovered that it was much more serious than that when the second plane hit. And I got dressed and I drove to my house and got a TV set, and I took it up to work, and we all sat in the conference room and watched 9/11 happen. Sometime that morning, I think it was around 10 o'clock, it was very clear that the nation was undergoing some type of attack, and definitely things were a lot different than they were the day before. And Kim came up to me and said, "I think you need to go gas up the vehicles, and I need to go to the bank." And so without saying a word, we released our employee and went and did that. After that time, or that night of 9/11, I went to the Walmart in Edmond, and it was just basically there was just full of shoppers in there. There was people going through the lines with two shopping carts and buying everything and just about in sight, stocking up. I was out there with them, and the clerk who rang us up said that she was fearful that the store would be empty of goods before she could get off work to shop for her family. I remember after 9/11, I said to myself, or that day I thought, you know, if I get through this, I'm never going to be caught short like this again, because I would have preferred just to have gone home and been at my house. And instead, I had to go out and mix and mingle and fight the crowds. And people were lined up. There was a gas line to get into the Murphy's there in Edmond. At Sam's, it was about 400 yards long in Edmond, Oklahoma, to buy gas on 9/11. Well, I think recently Rita and Katrina has tested people again, and I think shown us that we're not as safe in this world as we think, and that certainly it's wise to be prepared and to take some preparation. People do have a personal responsibility to look out for themselves. We've heard a lot about personal responsibility lately with the evacuees and those that went to the Superdome, and we've seen all that debated. But we live in a world that's very uncertain. And it's not my text, but Jesus in Matthew 24 described what I think is pre-tribulation conditions, which he called the beginning of sorrows, and he spoke of war and famine and pestilence and earthquakes. And then later he said, "And then you will be delivered up into tribulation." So he seems to be signaling that before things get really bad, there's still some pretty scary things that are involved in the precursor things. I got on the FEMA website this morning and was looking at the FEMA preparedness website, their little blog on personal preparedness. And they had listed about 11 different natural hazards that people need to be prepared for that might affect people. There was floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. There was thunderstorms and lightning. There was winter storms or extreme cold. There was earthquakes. We don't have a lot of that in Oklahoma, but believe it or not, the largest earthquake in history in the U.S. that I'm aware of. Does anybody know what state it's in? It's not California. Missouri is correct. Missouri had the largest, I think, recorded earthquake in the U.S., to my knowledge. There's volcanoes. A little footnote here, we don't have any volcanoes in Oklahoma that I'm aware of. I saw a documentary on Yellowstone a couple of months ago, and I did not know this, but all of Yellowstone in Wyoming is sitting on top of a huge magma chamber. And this magma chamber is, and I'm not kidding, this was on the Discovery / Science Channel. I think I watched this with Kim Wagner. This magma chamber that's under Yellowstone is 5 miles deep, 20 miles wide and 50 miles long. And that thing supposedly explodes or erupts every 70,000 years. And I think we were about 87,000 years, or we were well past the benchmark for that. There was landslide slash debris flows listed. Tsunamis, didn't mention landslide tsunamis, but there's an island out in West in Africa, someplace around near Africa, that's about ready to fall off into the ocean, and it's predicted, you know, this stuff, we say it's about ready to, it happens, you know, it's going to happen at some point, but it's ready to slide off at any time, and they say that would produce this huge tidal wave that would hit the eastern U.S. They had fire, and then also notably wildfire was listed on the website. We're having a little bit of that out in California. There's also technological hazards were listed. Three Mile Island is an example where something goes wrong with some chemical or industrial process, or people have to evacuate. And then we have terrorism. We live under the threat of a dirty bomb attack or anthrax or suitcase nukes, some other type of 9/11 event that doesn't involve some kind of NBC thing. There's theories about meteors striking the Earth. You know, every so many thousands of years, a large asteroid hits the Earth, like the one that hit the Yucatan and is believed to have wiped out the dinosaurs. You know, I'm not saying all that's gonna happen tomorrow, but it's certainly hanging out there. It's not crazy anymore to hypothesize about some of those scenarios. Well, we're kind of in the Church of God, or as God's people, we're kind of caught. We're not caught, but there's kind of two extremes that I think that we need to be careful avoiding. There's kind of the one extreme, which is God's going to do everything for me because I'm God's child, and God wants me to have faith in Him, and God's going to take care of me, and so I don't have anything to do, or shouldn't take any precautions. Or the other is maybe to drop out of life and go underground right now while the getting's good, get gone while the getting's good, and maybe go join myself to some survival community and run around the woods with my guns and my camo and my Coleman stove. Not sure. In fact, I'm real sure that's not what God wants for me to do either. So I'm kind of, you know, which way do I go here? Is there this left's where everybody's going to do everything for me, and I can always go to the Superdome if things get real bad, and they'll take care of me there? Or do I want to run around the woods with my guns and or is there some middle of the road approach? You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 6, don't worry about your food, your clothing, or what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, or what you're going to put on. And He said, sufficient for the day. You know, that should be what you do, sufficient for the day. But I think Jim Hudson, in a sermonette a couple months ago, brought up a good point. He mentioned this verse. And he said that this is a general principle, a general approach to life. And I think Jim was correct. And he used the analogy that if you take this too literally and apply it in an unwise way, that you're going to run your car out of gas. For instance, you know, I could drive home with an empty tank and just know sufficient under the day. I know that as I approach my house, I can just slap it in neutral and coast into the garage on vapors and sufficient under the day, and I'm honoring God. And well, I'll worry about that court appearance and being out of gas. I'll worry about that tomorrow morning, and I'm honoring God. Now, I don't think that's kind of example or testimony or life God wants us to lead. God wants us to have a balanced approach to things. And the Bible says a little bit about personal responsibility. Turn with me to Proverbs 22, verse 3. It's my text. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Notice what this says. This doesn't say that a prudent man sees evil and hides himself. It says that he foresees evil. He sees it. A prudent man, God tells us, is a man or a woman that's got a nose for trouble. It's got a nose for trouble. And I don't mean a nose for trouble like they're trying to get into it, but I mean a person that's got good street smarts, that they see trouble coming. They can smell a bad situation about to happen. It's an important skill for young people to learn as you're growing up, getting a nose for trouble, being able to tell when things are getting out of hand and you can see where this might lead. Same thing God's telling us here is that a prudent man or woman is able to foresee trouble while it's still a ways out there and begin taking steps and to hide himself, to hide herself. And it says, but the simple man passes on and is what? Is punished. I think personally, however many of those people ended up in the Superdome, I don't know in the individual case, but that's definitely not a good place to be. That would definitely be punishment to me. I would not enjoy being in the Superdome. The Bible also, on the issue of personal responsibility, has this to say in Proverbs verse 6, chapter 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. See, God tells us here that we should go to, not that we're sluggards, but it's a warning. It's a warning to those that would adopt a sluggardly approach to life or as a way of living. It says, go to the ant and consider what the ant does, who without any prodding or coercion by a taskmaster goes out and takes preparation today for needs that it does not have today, but takes preparation for needs that it's going to have at a later time. You know, when it's there in the harvest time, there's plenty of food. Well, you could just, depending on what you're harvesting, you could just sit in the field and eat your fill of it. But here that tells us the ant is gathering that food in, gathers her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest, anticipating future needs. What should I do? What would be a wise thing to do in the area of personal responsibility? What could I do? I've come up with a few things that I think all of us could do that I think would be wise and not crazy or radical. It wouldn't involve me sitting down in Beavers Bend State Park with my Coleman stove. And here's what some of them are. We all got to have food, some water, may have medical needs. So let's talk about some of this. On the issue of food, what I've done might work for you. After 9/11, I went and bought a metal shelf at Sam's for about $60 or $70, and I put canned goods on it and other dry goods on it. And I don't buy stuff that I don't like. I don't like sardines in oil. I don't eat that stuff in the normal time. I don't want to eat that. So what I do is I buy stuff that Kim and I regularly buy. If I like Campbell's tomato soup and I don't like Town and Farm tomato soup, I buy Campbell's and put it on my shelf. And whatever it is that I like, I buy that and I put it on my food shelf. And I buy extra of that. Instead of buying two cans, maybe I buy four or I buy six and I put it out there on the shelf. And as I need a can of soup, instead of going to the store, I'll take it off the shelf. And then when we go to the store, I'll replace it and put it at the back, kind of rotating the stock. I've got a lot of food out there that's kind of quick, ready-to-eat stuff. It's canned goods, readily prepared. You know, beans and rice is good. Big sacks of beans and rice is good if you're making a long-term plan. But quite frankly, if you have to get in your car and leave Hurricane Rita, you don't want to throw a 50-pound bag of pinto beans in your car. You're not going to be able to eat that. It takes a lot of energy to cook all that stuff. Maybe that's good to have some of that, but a good plan is going to involve a little more than that. On water, FEMA had this to say. They said basically they recommended 1 gallon of water per person per day. They recommended 3-day supply of food and water. I personally see things a little worse than FEMA does. I tend to stockpile what I don't know how much I have, but probably several weeks or maybe months of at least food. I have some water. But they tell us, you know, you can fill up a pop bottle. The FEMA website said you can take a 2-liter bottle of pop, drain it out, and that's an excellent storage device for water. It said don't use the milk jugs or fruit jugs because they get some kind of bacteria in them that you can't get cleaned out. And you can store that for 6 months, it says. So may not be a bad idea to have some water. Maybe save those old pop bottle, those 2-liter Coke jugs, and fill them up with some water. Something that came out about medical supplies about Rita is people not knowing their prescriptions. They just know, oh, I take this red pill. I've taken it for years. It's for my heart. Well, a medical professional, maybe there's 3 or 4 red pills, and they don't know exactly what it is you're taking. So if you have medications, it might be a good idea to commit that to memory so you know what you're taking, that you know the generic brand and the non-generic brand names for that, and you know how many milligrams you take a day. Just kind of have some of that stuff memorized. Somebody that might want to help you might need to know that. I'm not going to be able to finish this, but... you know, there's battery-powered radios to stay in touch with what's going on in the world. Might be good to have a few extra batteries. You know, Radio Shack has at one time I bought one. They may still have them, but if they don't have it, other people have it, is these crank radios. Radio Shack's got a crank radio for about $40. It's got AM, FM, weather, and shortwave, and it'll run off a crank and a dynamo, or it'll run off batteries. For $40, excellent thing to have. Another thing the FEMA website indicated it didn't indicate this, but this is a good idea, is to have a communications plan. A lot of times, you know, from Hurricane Rita and Katrina, we've learned that it's sometimes difficult to call around within the area. But sometimes the phones will work to call someplace out of the area, work easier than trying to call into the area. So maybe if you're maybe it'd be good for each of our families to have a plan that, I'll just give you an example. When Kim and I are at the feast, we have a plan that if we get separated in another country in a big city, and we don't speak the language, our plan is to call home, make a long distance call and call home and leave messages on the voicemail at home or on the voicemail at work. Because we both know that if we get separated, that's where we'll go and check. Maybe something like that could work stateside for your family, is that, hey, if we get separated, this is our game plan. Well, brethren, in conclusion, God has told us to consider the ant who makes preparation before it is in need and who does this without the need of a captain, an overseer, or a ruler. We should be like motivated. God tells us to take personal responsibility for ourselves and, like the prudent man, hide ourselves from the day of trouble. We are to trust in God for our needs and our salvation, and it is ultimately God that is our protector, not ourselves. But He does expect us to do what we can, and we are to be like the wise man, not the simple, and we are to go to the ant and consider the ant.